The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number three of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, SiriusXM Channel 158. My name is Gil Alexander. That person's name is Kelly Bidlin.
Ayo.
Producer number nine, so much more than a producer. Live from Circa Resort Casino, downtown Las Vegas. Flavio Coboli.
Flavio
tied it up at one set apiece. So we're de facto best of three now.
You just agreed with me about the seats. Look at it. It's bad, man.
Plenty of seats available.
This matchup, not good enough for the French.
We get tweets at Beating the Book. Todd at Canarsie Born 65. Is it time to ask Paul Sporer to add a background to his virtual interviews so we don't have to see that his cleaning service hasn't arrived yet? Ah, he says.
You know what?
Wow. Shots fired.
Kind of noticed that today, too, and all I thought to myself about it, Gil, was good for Paul.
Jesse Welch.
He's moving on in life.
On the other hand, Jesse Welch. Paul Sporer gets a Gold Star Award for his segment today. Guest of the day for sure. Wow.
He's been awesome all season.
He has been great.
He's been coming and firing with takes. Like it.
The Paris. Remember the obscure reality show Catching Kelsey? How about Gambling on Greg? Set in Vegas, might sell itself. Can I say something? This idea, I'm not joking.
Yeah.
This is a fantastic idea. But here's the only way I would be involved, and Greg is a great, it will come through the screen. I don't want this to be exploitive. He's a great kid who is learning things in life about dating and other things.
Mm-hmm.
And I think...
Or is he? And that's the tagline.
Or is he? Kelly Bidlin always with the more cynical spin. You're correct. Or is he? But I'm just saying, I want it to be this sweet thing where people root for him. I don't want it to be I don't want people to go after him.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, as we transition to Todd Wishnev, this is for Todd, Sean's Fox Place. Make sure you remind Todd that these are cup games. They mean more. And stop taking unders for the next 3 weeks live as point differential matters. Oh, he's talking about the Stanley Cup final. They were scoring with 25 seconds and 15 seconds in a game up 12. Wait, what is he talking about?
The Commissioner's Cup, I believe.
Oh, the Commissioner's Cup. Best bet is wait 2 minutes into the quarter and then take over. Anyway, Todd Wishnev joins us, the star of Wishnev Wednesdays, from his spot there in Pittsburgh, PA. How you doing, Toddy?
Isn't the word exploitative?
Oh, exploitive? Did I say exploitative? I'm sorry. I did it. You know what?
No, you said exploitive. I don't think there is a word exploitive. I think it's exploitative, but maybe I'm wrong. I could be wrong on this.
I think Todd's right.
You guys are both incorrect. It's exploitive. You can also use exploitative, but I also have this with the word. You know how people
can
say...
also use. That's so weird.
People say exploitive is the quicker way to say the word correctly. In the same way that I say preventive, but other people say preventative.
Ooh. Yeah.
Preventive is the correct word.
Okay. Just well, like we've all learned something here today.
Yeah. Now, or
let's
have
talk
we?
About Andy.
You know my
Andy
favorite.
Andy Messersmith in 1975 as a reliever for the Los Angeles Dodgers and an all-star.
You know what annoys me about Todd more than anything? And believe me, a lot of stuff annoys me about him. He will start a subject, I will clarify it, and then he'll spin it as if I've been the English teacher. No, I'm just responding to you, buddy.
I said I could be wrong. What was wrong with that?
No, you
I said
spun
I could be
it
wrong.
At the
You're
end.
Right. I'm wrong.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
Let's move on, Gil. Way to waste all of our time, Gil. How dare you bring this up?
Bickering
wow,
with
somebody
bickering
sensitive
with Toddy.
Today.
Listen, it's a special senile edition of a numbers game. Don't get on me. All right, Todd. WNBA, which you love betting. Like, I get the feeling you love betting this sport more and more every year. Where does it rank in
I love it.
Yeah, where does it rank in the Todd Wishnev favorite sports to bet ranking system?
Oh, I don't know where it ranks, but I certainly love it in the summer when you need a little break from just constant baseball all the time. I freaking love it. Plus, you get to say the WNBA, like you were saying, WNBC.
Okay.
So it's the right. WNBA. And once you learn all the players and everything, which I have over the last couple of years, it's really come to life for me. I love this sport.
Okay, let's do it. Do you want to do team by team in the very thorough Todd Wishnev kind of way?
Let's just do a quick team by team little blurb on each. Would that work for you?
Please. Floor is yours, sir.
Well, let's go from the top. The Minnesota Lynx, with excellent coaching, they lost their two beasts in the middle, and I thought that would be a problem. Alana Smith and Jessica Shepherd both went to the Dallas Wings, and I thought, whoa, And they lost the other half of stud buds, Natisha Heinemann. So I thought there might be a problem, but it's not a problem at all. They're 7-2, just rolling again. And I like that new little point guard, Olivia Miles. She was, I think, the number two pick in the WNBA draft. So they're just rolling along as usual. Very, very good team. I don't know that they can win it all, but they're going to give you an excellent effort every night, I think, Minnesota. Second team down is the Atlanta Dream. Atlanta Dream. Will Hill loves to make fun of me because I didn't tell him the Dream -3 in time last year once, and now he makes fun of me that I pass post. Anyways, the Atlanta Dream, they're your classic, very good but not good enough team. Almost like, do you remember the Milwaukee Bucks in the early 80s? They could just never get over the hump, you know, because the Sixers were there and the Celtics were there, but they were always, you know, good team with Sidney Moncrief every year. That's the Atlanta Dream. They're just not good enough, but they're good.
Good 1980s the next team down. Eastern Conference hierarchy there from Todd. Nice job.
Well, I was trying to give you, it's a good example because Milwaukee Bucks used to make the playoffs every year, but they could just never get over the hump. The Dallas Wings are 6-3, the third best team in the league. Now, this team, they picked up AZ Fudd, the number one pick in the draft. Also, I believe, real good friends with Paige Beckers. I don't know how good friends, but they're good friends. They picked up the two Minnesota Lynx beasts that I mentioned before, Smith and Shepard, and they've turned themselves into a real team here. They still have Egwabuke. I can never pronounce her name. They're 6-3. Watch this team. I think we could see, you know, some stuff from this team here. This is a good team. Las Vegas Aces are 6-3. They're kind of going through the motions like they always do early season. If you remember last year, they were 14-13 and then run off like 18 games in a row or something. Now, remember this. They picked up Chenity Carter, who used to be on the Sky. If you remember, she was the girl who like fouled Caitlin Clark hard a couple years ago. And there was a big like, oh, you know, everyone went crazy. But that girl can score her ass off. That girl can score. And I think she's a big pickup for the Aces when things, you know, become important down the stretch. So the Aces may be able to win it again here. I wouldn't put it past them. Golden State, 6-3. I've loved this team since last year. By the way, if you watch WNBA games, the crowd is crazy in Golden State. It's kind of like Warriors game.
I don't know
if you've seen this.
Yeah.
Oh my God. They go nuts. They're sold out. This team, they're very well coached. They play defense. I just love everything about Golden State. I think good things to come for them. I don't know if they have enough talent to win it all, but you're definitely going to see good things. New York Liberty is the next team. They're 5-4. The New York Liberty, extremely talented team. I believe they're considered the odds-on favorite to win. I think the last time I looked, they were like +250. I don't see it. I just absolutely don't see it. There's too much non-buttoned-up nonsense.
Oh,
know anything about me,
I
like a buttoned-up Danny Hurley-type basketball team. This is not a buttoned-up team. They do a lot of stupid crap, and they're much more talented than you would think that they should be doing. I don't like this team at all. In fact, I'll even say, Danny asked me if I had any picks for tonight, and I was going to send one, but I wasn't sure. Toronto Tempo plus, you know, first half, whatever they are, plus maybe 4.5 points tonight wouldn't be, you know, strange because the Liberty, they sleepwalk a lot. Toronto is the next team. They're 5-4. They're an expansion team that's trying real hard and playing pretty good. So, you know, they can surprise people every once in a while. The next team is Portland. Also, the Portland Fire is also an expansion team. They're 6-5. They just beat the Caitlin Clark-led Fever by 20 points the other day, spurring Clark and her coach to go crazy on each other in a huddle. And now, I don't know if you saw the clip, but Caitlin Clark got subbed in because she was going crazy on the coach. I'm like, wow, you know, Katie, you better slow your roll here. You're not as good as you think you are. Now, I know she's great. Don't get me wrong.
I was going to ask you about this. Yeah.
She doesn't stop anyone on defense. I mean, you could score on her, Gilly.
What?
You could score on her. Kelly could score on her. Maybe even Stevie Fezzik might be able to hit a backhand passer on tennis. She is not a defensive player. And now she's not just doing everything on offense. So, I don't know. You know, this Caitlin Clark stuff, this is going in the wrong direction. Any questions so far?
No.
I've got questions.
Okay.
I got a question for you. Okay, so Todd, I'm looking at the futures board right now. Liberty, your short shot plus 275. You talked about them getting off to a slow start. Aces plus 360, Lynx plus 550, Dream plus 550, and the Fever plus 650. You got five teams that are plus 650 or shorter. Does it feel like it's just those five teams and then everybody else? You think there's some other contenders.
What about the Valkyries?
15-1.
Dallas?
Wings and Valkyries both 15. 15-1.
You know what? Dallas at 15-1. I'm not saying they're going to win it, but 15-1 for Dallas, that's way too high. This team is good. This team is really good. They got Paige Beckers and they got Igwabuke. Now they've got the two beasts inside. This team can play. I really like Dallas a lot. I think 15-1 is crazy. Okay. Now, if you forced me to bet that kind of, you know, maybe I'd take the Aces just because, you know, I just think they have too much like they always do. But and now they have Chinedu Carter, too. And people are sleeping on that. That girl is just going to make a big difference.
I'm pretty shocked by your Caitlin Clark take. I think I knew that about you, but I didn't think it with such strength that you are not a fan of her overall game.
Well, I mean, I was loving her coming out, but this year it has been maybe it's because of the injuries. I don't know. She doesn't stop anyone. The Portland Fire were playing her one-on-one. They were like isolating her on defense and beating her. It was unbelievable.
Todd, you want to stick around for a second segment, finish the rest of the teams? You want to do that?
Sure.
Todd Wishnev, everybody. Sure. WNBA, more thorough on a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
Racetrack.
You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. Visa Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with Visa Pro.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Hey, don't forget about our early bird special over here at VSiN. For a limited time, lock in early bird pricing on our football season special for just $175. That's VSiN Pro. The sooner you sign up, the more value you get with full access to everything we do across every sport through the Super Bowl. That means coverage for the NBA Finals, Stanley Cup Final, Belmont Stakes, and MLB right now. Plus early access to our 2026-27 NFL betting guide coming June 22nd. Help you attack futures, win totals, division races, and the upcoming season. You also get daily best bets, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, AI-powered prop projections, 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app, and season previews for college football, NHL, NBA, and more. Head to vsin.com/subscribe now. That's vsin.com/subscribe. Went to dinner with Crack and Nifty.
Where'd you guys eat at this time?
And Willie last night. We went to, for the first time ever, we went to the Carbone Riviera.
Oh, yeah. I have not
spot
been
on
yet.
Bellagio.
Yeah.
And I was super prepared, as Crack was. We're both prepared to go in there and be like, it's good. It's not as good as the original.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Now, it'll take you about a month to get reservations.
Right. This is all I've heard, though, too.
I give a massive recommendation.
Okay.
I had these like lobster balls to begin.
Lobster balls, nice.
And then I had this angel hair pasta with crab. It was just insanely good.
Now, are they're supposed to be heavier seafood?
Correct.
Right?
Yes. Okay. It's on the water there in the Bellagio. Too hot to eat outside last night, but you get the idea. Carbone Riviera.
Did they find a spot for that?
Right next to Prime where Picasso used to be.
Oh, okay.
So it's in the same spot as Picasso. Without the 11 original Picassos on the wall, as they were back in the day. Here we go. Todd Wishnev continuing with his WNBA dissertation for us. Toddy, good morning. Once again, Todd Wishnev. You can follow him on Twitter at TWishnev. We got a question earlier, Todd, about, hey, I heard you guys recommending Todd's Discord. I can't seem to find where I go. You're maxed out? Are we ever allowing new people in there? What's the story?
2,500, all kind of weird stuff starts happening. So, right now I got it closed up, but maybe I'll open it again. We'll see. By the way, Kelly, have you ever had a friend who said, oh, you know, I just can't lose weight. I just don't understand why I can't lose weight. And then he starts talking about fancy restaurants that he went to where he jammed stuff in his gullet the whole night. I'm not talking about anybody, you know, Kelly. I'm just talking about theoretically.
It's, I've often wondered how living and eating on the strip every day might affect those things.
I resemble those remarks. Where'd you leave off, Todd?
Anyways.
Yeah, where'd you leave off?
Back to the WNBA. Like I said, the Portland and Toronto are both trying hard, and that can lead to win. By the way, I skipped one thing with the Atlanta Dream. The Atlanta Dream already this year have won a couple games from coming from behind, so they're not a bad come from behind if you can get them at a cheap price. For instance, last night I had them. They were down, I think, 59-56 late third quarter against Connecticut Sun, who's the worst team in the league. And I got them at -174 on the money line. And I think it's the second time I've picked up the Dream down late. They seem to be a team that's doing stuff in the fourth quarter when they're losing. I think Portland also, I haven't actually tracked this, but somebody on my Discord was saying how Portland's been covering the fourth quarters in WNBA games every game. So that's another interesting factor. The fact that they beat the Fever by 20 means that, you know, this team is really trying to say, hey, look, we're a real team. We're not just an expansion team. Okay, next team is Washington Mystics. The Mystics, again, are challenged on offense. They do have Sonia Citron, who keeps playing better and better. They've got that big girl in the middle who can rebound. I can't remember her name right now. But they're pretty good on defense. They're going to be about an average team, but they can sneak up on you from time to time. Indiana Fever is 4-4. I was talking about it before the break. There's, you know, we could see some real problems here if this continues to be an issue for Caitlin Clark defensively. Now, you know, obviously they have a ton of talent on this team. Kelsey Mitchell, Boston, you know, all the Sophie Cunningham, who just runs her mouth incessantly, you know, is okay. But the you know, there could be problems in Indiana, and they're always going to be overrated. So you want to watch for, you know, spots you can go against them because everyone wants to bet on Caitlin Clark.
Real quick, we were talking about off air how, like, you know, Stephanie White, the coach of the Fever, if the way that social media is today, you never know what's real and what's not. And if you went to social media, she was like fired a million times on social media. She's not been fired. Stephanie White, Caitlin Clark have both publicly said, nah, it's just coaching. We're cool. So anyway, continue, sir. I'm sorry.
Yeah. I mean, it's not often that you see a player going off on a coach in the huddle. That was very interesting. It was almost like a, hey, I'm bigger than all of you kind of thing. And you know, not the way to play it. Anyways, LA Sparks is 4-5. This is the same old LA Sparks. LA Sparks loves to play offense. They don't like to play defense. Kelsey Plum's been out the last couple games, so they've been struggling. You know, LA Sparks is just going to be a good over team. You know, just watch for them when it starts getting into a crazy run and gun game. There's no number high enough in LA Sparks. Chicago Sky, they lost Rekia Jackson, who they picked up from LA. I think that was a big loss for them because they struggle to score, and they're 3-6. They still have Chris Felica's favorite player, Rachel Banham, the little chunky three-point shooter girl, but she's not enough on offense. So I'm just kidding around. My gosh, you can't kid around a little bit. My God, you guys are laughing your heads off.
Did we say anything?
No, I didn't say anything. Yes.
I didn't say anything.
Anyways, somebody who texted me, Shakira Austin. That was, Chris Felica. Thank
for the
you,
Mystics. Shakira for Austin. The Mystics, Shakira Austin.
That's who I was talking about, the big girl for the Mystics. And he says she should be comeback player of the year. There's another girl who I was thinking should be comeback player of the year also, but I can't think of it right now. Anyways, Chicago Sky, they're going to struggle offensively. Like we said, look for spots to take the team total under on them. I would say the same thing about Seattle. Now, Seattle is missing Maglagore, who's their a big girl who's real good, and also their Malonga, who's their 19-year-old. I think she's like 6'7". She can dunk. She's really good, and I think she's going to be like a big future star in the league. They're missing both those players, and therefore they're 3-7, and they can't seem to score at all. But, you know, even so, they're not a great offensive team. There's just not enough wings that can, you know, shoot. Skylar Diggins is now on a different team, I think on Chicago now, so they lost her. You know, that's a big loss for them. I just don't see enough scoring. Now, this is the team, Phoenix, that has been the biggest disappointment in the WNBA, in my opinion. They're 2-8. They still really have their core of everybody they had last year, and they just are horrendous. It's unbelievable. Still have Alyssa Thomas, who's, you know, the do everything, you know, triple double machine. Yeah. Kylia Copper has been a real disappointment because she used to be amazing. And I just don't know what's wrong with this team. They're 2-8. And, you know, maybe they'll turn it around. Right now, very, very surprising how they've been playing. And then pulling up the end here is Connecticut at 2-9. Connecticut, they just got Lacan back. She's a real good guard. They have a real pretty tall girl named Olivia Doda. Or I'm not pronouncing the name right, but she's not terrible. But the Connecticut, they just don't have enough. You know, obviously, they're not really that good.
All right, here are the WNBA championship odds without the Connecticut Sun, without the Chicago Sky listed, but the other 10 teams. Liberty are the short shot, as we talked about, at plus 275. It is bunched up, five teams. Liberty, Aces, Lynx, Dream, Fever. But Todd, your eyes go to the Valkyries at 15-1. Is that what you were saying?
The Wings at 15. Dallas Wings at 15-1. With AZ Fudd and Beckers and Agwabuke, and now the two girls from Minnesota. I like this team a lot.
Okay. And then your play for tonight is what again?
I've said, I don't usually bet pregame. I usually bet more in-game. But if I was gonna play something pregame, I might play first half Toronto tempo at the Liberty, just because the Liberty seem to be sleepwalking a lot here early season. And wouldn't be surprised if the tempo, just with their effort, kept them in the game early.
Okay, last 60, 90 seconds. What will you be sort of looking at in baseball today, generally speaking? What do you have your eye on?
I've been looking at Sanchez for strikeouts for the Phillies. This guy is just striking out everybody. The left-hander for the Phillies. I mean, my God, the numbers, 10, 12. I think he had 13 against the Pirates. The Padres, I believe, are 11th now against left-handed pitching. In striking out, when early in the season they weren't striking out at all, they're striking out a ton. By the way, whatever happened to Manny Machado? Unbelievable.
Yeah.
I think the guy's hitting 170. It's incredible. Anyways, I wouldn't be surprised. Now, he just faced them, and he struck them out 9 times. So sometimes I get a little nervous about going back with a pitcher to get the strikeouts again the second time when they just faced them, because maybe it's easier for them because they've just faced them. I'm not positive, but the numbers, I believe, 6.5 with a lot of juice. I still will probably play Sanchez over today against the Padres, but wow, boy, are they by the way, what's his name? Tatis seems to be coming out of it, and he's, I believe, 7-for-14 lifetime against Sanchez, so he might have a game tonight. But Tatis seems to, he almost hit a homer yesterday and finally hit a homer the other day. So
finally,
you know, he might be coming out of it.
Yeah, finally. Massive home run drought for Fernando Tatis Jr., who lost, by the way, his case. Remember the operation that took 10% of his lifetime earnings or whatever it was? He lost that case. He tried to sue him. No.
I had an agency give me a 10%, of $3 million for when I became a huge, announcer, media.
Okay.
And, of course, they lost on that.
Okay,
one.
You got to go. Bye, Todd.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Don't forget about our VSiN Pro Early Birds special, the Oily Boy. Full Visa Pro access until the Super Bowl, $175. That's it. $175. Not even two Benjamin. Daily best bets, betting splits data, AI-powered prop projections, 24/7 video access, and the NFL betting guide, which comes out at a record early June 22nd. Man, 19 days from now, we got NFL betting guide 1.0, as Adam Burke calls it. VSiN.com/subscribe for all of that. We get tweets, beat of the book. Always appreciate it. Doug Knutson Sports. Hey, Gil, you had a listener today ask, was there ever a game everybody was on and that team actually won? Yes. Game 4, Knicks and Cavaliers. Knicks won wire to wire, covered by 35 points, and every square and sharp we heard were on the Knicks. You know what, Doug? That was the one where I hated myself afterwards for not playing. And playing again. Rob L. This is a great point from Rob. He says, as an all-around survivor enthusiast, Gil, how are you not taking up World Cup Survivor, or talking up World Cup Survivor? Kelly, we need an ANG World Cup Survivor entry. Will be great content. He's right about that. And even though the reason that we said that, don't misunderstand, please, Rob L., is we can't enter the Splash Sports one by law. but I'd love to be in another one. It would be great content. Let's work on that. Dell Mind the Gap Radio. Since I've been on Follow the Money in studio and on tape on Sharp Money, if anyone needs a break, I'll be in town in August. There you go. Listeners just learned.
Oh, there you go.
He's Dell the Mind the Gap Radio. Ready to go.
He wanted to host that Fez and Greg segment. That's what it was.
Speaking of which, and we will segue into Will Hill with this, but apparently Fezzik did chime in on the Greg Peterson dating stuff. And he says, as Judge Judy always says, and then Fezzik goes capital letters, you picked them. And then he says, in all seriousness, and not to be Mr. Fix-It, but why not have a stable, good judge of character friend advise you going forward? And you know who he suggests? Not you, not me, Kelly. Adam B. or Steve M. or someone like that. So is he referring to Adam Burke or Steve Mackin in there?
I don't know.
Or is he just randomly had an Adam B. and a Steve M.?
I don't know. That was my question, too. I'm assuming
he said don't
Burke and Mackinnon, but
said,
maybe not.
Don't do anything without getting their advice. I didn't know that Adam Burke and Steve Mackinnon had this expertise, but there you go.
I don't do anything in my life without getting Steve Mackinnon's advice first. Like, what are the trends?
Steve Fezzik approaching the Greg Peterson dating matter as if it's a pedantic sports betting mathematical question.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Will Hill joins us now, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. You can follow him on Twitter at NotTheWillHill, two E's on the V. He's the host of the Shoulda Bet More podcast, coming to you three times a week. He comes to us from the state of Connecticut. How you doing, Willie?
Gilly, what's going on? I think, as usual, Fez has sold himself short. Why couldn't Fez just help out Greg? And boy, imagine the numbers. Imagine the ratings that would do. Greg Peterson,
oh, man,
with Fez in his ear, like the pitching coach coming out to the mound to give him little chats, advising him on his dating life, man. Where do we start? Where do we sign up?
What's the Cyrano de Bergerac? Is that how he was talking to the girl and he was getting fed lines in his ear? Yeah.
Where's this reality show? Why? We got to stop talking about this on air. We can all be making money off of this.
Absolutely. Absolutely. What are we doing? Greg, let's consider it. Will, let's start with the NBA Finals. Game one tonight between the Spurs and the Knicks. Spurs favored by 4.5, total 218.5. What are we doing with this?
Yeah, can't wait. What a great finals this is. Knicks haven't been here in forever. You get Wembanyama, you get the Thunder out of there. People sick of their flopping and the foul calls. And is this a foul? Is it not with the SGA? So I love this final. A lot of juice, a lot of excitement. I think ultimately, I don't have a great feel for game one. I think ultimately Spurs win a long series. I have Spurs in six plus 550. I think that's a good bet. Correct series score, exact score, whatever the wording is. I enjoyed your bit on that earlier. I totally agree. I just think the Knicks, their success against the Spurs earlier in the season, I think you can't really dismiss it. Those teams, I know Wemby was on a minutes limit, but there's always caveats with these regular season games. I think that does translate to some success in the series. I do think they win a couple games. I just think a couple things. They think the Knicks a little too trendy. Reminds me a little bit of Mavs and Celtics a couple years ago, where people looked at Luka, the plus price. Hey, I got the best player in the series. And a lot of people picked Dallas, and they got destroyed. And you remember the series, Gil, where Cleveland would go into Golden State, and the West was just so much better than the East. And Cleveland would just get destroyed the first couple games just because there was such a gap between the teams the Cavs and LeBron were playing and the teams they were stepping up to. Now, this Spurs team is not the Warriors. I'm not saying they are, but those two things are in my head a little bit. So I'm going Spurs in six. I think the Knicks win some games here. The stat I keep coming back to over this 11-game stretch, and it's an impressive 11-game stretch, obviously haven't lost a game since the first night of the NFL draft back in April. Knicks are shooting 43% from three. Their opponents are shooting 29% from three. League average is 35%. So you got to figure the Knicks cool off a little bit. Their opponents start to hit some threes, and this Knicks team looks a little different. But I'm not going to completely dismiss what the Knicks have done. They've been impressive. They've dismantled these teams. Granted, it's the beat-up Sixers, it's the tired Cavs, it's the Hawks, and it's amazing to look back and think the Hawks were up 2-1 on this team. So Spurs and six is the way I'm going. And the last thing on this, if I was going to look for a long shot, and after Caruso, I don't have the appetite to get my heart broken again.
So
if I was going to think outside the box for a long shot MVP, Ananobi probably going to guard Wemby. You get that whole angle of Iguodala from years ago, the whole handicap with Caruso, and maybe Ananobi hits a bunch of threes, does a good job on Wemby. Brunson's relatively quiet, and then Ananobi around 70-1 can steal it. That would be the one sleeper, but other than that, I'm pretty much staying away.
What'd you say about your Caruso Western Conference MVP Finals ticket? You're like, add it to the pile of great bets.
Yeah,
that just couldn't get home. Yeah. Let me ask this.
Frustrating. What are you going to do?
What are you going to do? I like the thought process. There was a path, just didn't work out. Thunder had to win to even get in the discussion. About the Spurs-Knicks before we move on to baseball. So, okay, you have the Spurs in six. There are those that think the Knicks win the series. There are those that think, okay, it'll be really close. Spurs could win in seven. Spurs could win in six. Let me ask it this way. If the Knicks are to win two games or more, two, three, or four, doesn't game one have to be one of those? In other words, if they lose game one tonight, is there any chance they win two?
I mean, there's always a chance, but I get your sentiment. I get your thinking, this idea that, hey, this is the chance to steal one if you're the Knicks. The Spurs are off this seven-game war, maybe a little tired, maybe a little mentally tired. This is your chance to steal one. If that's your approach to the series, I completely agree. Feels like it's always easier to steal one in game one on the road than the rest of the series. I mean, look at San Antonio. They went in, they took one off OKC right away. And that obviously was big in the end. So I would agree with that line of thinking, yes.
Yeah, and to some extent, you know, somebody's going to listen and say, oh, can't you say that about every series? You could, but this one specifically, because of this talent gap, because of Wemby, because, okay, you're catching the Spurs on the much less rest, right? This just feels like that's more pronounced than anything. So the Spurs win this, especially if they win it big. Like, our narrative tomorrow and heading into game two, I don't wonder what that line will be. Like, if the Spurs win this by 15 tonight, I wonder what the game two line adjusts to as well. And then will anybody give the Spurs a chance, the Knicks a chance at that point? Should be interesting. Game one tonight in San Antonio. We'll see if we can, if they can match the 78-77 or 80-67 scores that we highlighted yesterday in their 1999 series against each other, which is just amazing to look back at. Let's go to baseball. You have some plays today. Let's start with the first one, which is a Giants. Oh, God, this is a Willie special. The Giants, who I'm flirting, I'm thinking about betting them for the worst record. You have the Giants plus a half run first five today?
Yeah, Webb on the mound, and it's funny. I was thinking about that worst record bet. I know our buddy the Bear, Chris Felica, has given that out, has bet that. I don't believe that is in any of the accounts. I'm going to have to add that, if nothing else, for the FOMO, for the fear of missing out on that one, because that one seems to be very live, and I think they have a worse record now than the Rockies. But
what did he get
spot,
at?
Good spot for Webb. Some of the numbers for Webb suggest that, you know what, there's some positive regression coming. Really struggled to strand base runners. I know in the past he struggled on the road, but this year he seems to be correcting that a little bit. The second start back from the injury. I don't like backing these guys their first start back from the injury, but this is the second one back. I think, you know what, 1-1, 2-2 after five. I think this is maybe a good buy low spot here for the Gigantes.
What does Chris have? First of all, I didn't realize that he had this. What is his number on the Giants' worst record?
That I'm not sure. 30, 40 to 1 at least.
Wow.
He's been on this for a bit. I know he took a shot on a few different teams, but I believe the Giants were one of them. And that's looking like a pretty good shot. I don't know what the updated number is, but 14. That's one that seems to be live here.
14 to 1. I should totally wait till it goes into single digits, right, before I play it.
It's usually what I do.
Yeah. See, it sounds like a dumb strategy, but that's how I'm lollygagging with it. Okay, how about the Braves and the Blue Jays today? What are you doing on this one?
Give me the Braves team total over 4.5. I know it's the home team here, so you might not get the ninth at bat. Thought about laying it with the Braves. It's a little expensive in the $45-$50 range, but I want to look to fade Corbin. The ERA is respectable, but a lot of the advanced stuff, the hard contact, is not as respectable. Figure the Braves, who've got some guys back in that lineup there, they can get their 5-6 plus runs here against Corbin. So I will go Braves team total over 4.5. I want to bet on that offense against Patrick Corbin.
Okay. Will, kind enough to join us for two segments. We will hang out with him for one more. He has one more baseball play, and I will try to pick his brain about preliminary outlying Will Hill NFL thoughts as we are months away from the NFL season, but on the heels of the Myles Garrett trade, maybe he's got the juices flowing on that. That's next. Will Hill right here on A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The Sports Betting Network.
Back on A Numbers Game, live from Circa Resort Casino, downtown Las Vegas. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, my little buddy, here on the show. We get tweets, meeting the book, No Emu Doug. I thought Todd was talking about Rocky Road ice cream. Big and chunky. Chance Copperpot. Todd giving us the most important adjectives for betting the WNBA. Pretty and chunky. Yeah, we got to work on his adjectives. Bengals OAL. Speaking of streaks, with Carter Bryant on the Spurs, this is the 12th year in a row there'll be an Arizona Wildcat in the NBA Finals. Is that true?
Yeah.
Really?
I believe it.
Jaromir Jagr's like, that's nothing.
Yeah, yeah.
Once again, can we just revel in that hockey game last night for a second?
That was
incredible. Incredible.
Like, four amazing goals.
Beautiful goals.
Two other, like, wild, random hockey goals, but, you know.
But just the mental fortitude of the Vegas Golden Knights. We're down two goals? Ah, that's fine. We'll be okay. You guys keep tying us? We'll be okay. We'll figure it out.
Can't count out the Knights, Gil.
It is also cool. I know we're not Golden Knights fans, but it is cool to see people we know who are so pumped about it. Stormy, who's coming on later, she's pumped about it. My buddy Tyrone and his girlfriend, they're massive Vegas Golden Knights fans. He says we're going ballistic here in our house.
I know you and I often focus on the outside fan base, kind of hating in but it is. When I moved out here, almost 9 years ago now, it was mind-blowing how, like, immediately, right away, like, it was like, wow, like, this, I was South Florida, Panthers hadn't had their little run yet, so, like, the Panthers fans back in those days used to be like, wake me up if we have a good team, otherwise I'm not showing up. I expected that's how it was going to be out here. Not at all.
I think any Golden Knights fan would trace back the 9-year history, which we talked about, third cup finals, trying to win their second cup, to, you know, how the Golden Knights handled the unspeakable tragedy of the Vegas shooting.
Yes. Yeah.
And they handled it with such dignity and class. Mm-hmm. And they really just from that moment before the season even started, right? Just handled it so great and just ingratiated themselves to the fan base, and the rest is history.
Yep.
It's just an absolutely amazing franchise. Three games away now. Still a lot of work to be done, right? Three games away, but wow. Game one, three wins away, but game one was just incredible last night. Here are the bets. Again, French Open. A hit on Maya Walinska once again for the third time in this tournament. The pole. Maya Walinska, 5'5" tall. Tremendous clay numbers on the lower tours. She's in the semis, for God's sakes. +102. She beat Anna Kolinskaya on the overnight. We have Flavio Coboli here against Felix Auger-Aliassime. Auger-Aliassime was up a set. Coboli was down a break in the second set, broke back, broke again, won the second set to even it out, and now he is up a break. Is Coboli in the third set serving for the 2-1 lead in this best-of-five quarterfinal against FAA. So looking good currently in that one. Tomorrow, I haven't had a chance to look at the others, but I am on Marta Kostyuk versus Mira Andreeva. Remember, we also have Kostyuk at +405 to win the ladies' side, and she is now the short shot with Aryna Sabalenka getting bounced by Deanna Schneider on the overnight. We have a women's semifinal that is Maya Walinska versus Deanna Schneider, and I can promise you that Drew, Zach, and I never uttered one of their names once on the French Open preview pod.
Yeah, I think you're okay. I think that's okay at this point.
It's incredible.
The carnage that has occurred.
Absolutely incredible.
Why am I blanking on the Canadian girl? Have we had a Canadian Grand Slam winner before?
Yes, Bianca Andreescu.
That's who I'm thinking of.
Yeah. 2019 U.S. Open, I want to say.
Okay.
Yeah, over Serena. Serena back for grass season.
Should be Serena.
As much as I love this French Open, as great as it's gone, and as much as this has been incredible, need the break next week and the week after for grass. Spurs to win the NBA Finals 19-1 from way back when on Christmas Day, and the Cubbies most wins in June 12-1. Cubbies 0-1 out of the gates last night, but that's my play for the month of June. And we talked about earlier, we talked about subsets of this, race to 10, last undefeated. I don't have bets, but I recommend the Brewers in both of those. And then the other one was by division, most wins in June. I said Yankees AL East, Twins AL Central, Astros, pardon me, thank you, Danny. Astros 6-1, AL West. In the AL East, it's the Phillies that I see. Excuse me, the Braves, pardon me, over the Phillies. I don't understand why the Phillies are the favorite. Braves in the NL East. Cubbies, because I have them in the whole month. I have them, obviously, in the NL Central. And then it was the Diamondbacks, actually, per the price in the NL West. You, sir.
Did the Biggio get these up at all? I would love to bet that first to 10. No.
I don't think so. We love you, Eric Biggio.
We do. We do. Felix Auger-Aliassime, only 25 years old, too. Yeah. I would have guessed he was older than that. Feels like we've been talking about him for a while.
I didn't even mention also on the men's side when I was going through it earlier and all the carnage, and now the kids are gone, right? Hodar and Fonseca both lose yesterday. The 19-year-olds don't get there. The 20-year-old Jakub Mencik gets to the semis.
Yeah, it's a good point.
It's incredible, man.
Yeah, we could have at least made the argument at the end, like, hey, it's the wave of the future got there, right? And then it's like, no, not
again,
really.
We close out. We start. An Italian guy got to the semis and a Polish woman, and it ain't who you think it is. It ain't Sinner and it ain't Świątek.
All right. I got a lot to get to. Sorry, Danny. Tonight's game one, Josh Hart, 3+ three-pointers made. I also played 4+. This is at like 4-something to what was like plus 450. And then I'm on Knicks game one, Spurs to win the series at plus 490. Spurs to win in 6, plus 550. Spurs to win in 7, plus 370. That's everything for the NBA. A couple baseball futures I talked about yesterday, wanting to finally make these. Phillies to make the playoffs, minus 165. Brewers to win NL Central, minus 150. Gil, I'm adding those to the current futures, baseball futures I've bet of Jose Ramirez, AL MVP. No idea how he's done since I bet that. And then the Orioles over their win total to win the AL East. How's that looking? Actually, they're playing better recently,
They're
right?
playing better.
Okay.
They're playing right, better. Right, yeah.
Like some losers. Okay, golf real quick. Outrights just 2. Fitzpatrick, 26-1. Justin Thomas, 40-1. Both of them top 10 as well. Also top 10 on Cantlay and Kurt Kitayama. Top 20 on Cantlay, J.J. Spahn and Alex Smalley. Tournament matchups, Minwoo Lee over Robert McIntyre, Minwoo Lee over Russell Henley. Yes, I do like Minwoo Lee this week. Just couldn't get to a placement bet on him. Also think Russell Henley is just a little overrated. I love Henley usually. I bet Xander plus 102 over him. Was a little surprised Xander was the dog in that matchup. Alex Fitzpatrick minus 108 over Harry Hall. And Justin Thomas, minus 102 over Tommy Fleetwood.
I knew we'd get to the end of your golf.
That's right. We got there.
We finally got
3 minutes to spare.
Nick Whalen.
And guess what? Long Shots is up now. So go check it out if you want more in-depth golf talk.
There you go. Nick Whalen, co-host of Prop Points, which comes at the top of the hour with Jeff Erickson. Nick Spurs under 218.5 in game one tonight. He's also got 3 prop plays tonight. Karl Anthony Towns under 33.5 points, rebounds, assists. That's under 33.5. Josh Hart, 2+ threes, and Dylan Harper over 2.5 assists, all from Nick Whalen. He'll talk more about that, I'm sure, on Prop Points coming up. Will Hill, trio of baseball plays today, couple team total overs. Braves team total over 4.5 versus the Blue Jays. Red Sox team total over 4.5 versus the Birds, the Orioles, the O's. And then the Giants, wow, put on his Evel Knievel suit for this one. Giants first 5 plus a half of a run at the Brewers. First 5+0.5. We call that a Willie special. In the
I like that. I do like that.
He does
that.
A lot of those. And then he's got the Spurs exact result to win the series 4-2 at +550 from Will. Toddy Wishnev, tempo +4.5 first half at the Liberty tonight. Tempo +4.5 first half at the Liberty. Are we saying Wings 15-1 is an official play for him to win it all?
It sounded like it.
Sounded like it.
Yeah, I mean, he hasn't bet it yet. He hasn't bet it, but he did like that number. He was shocked to hear that was that long.
Yeah, Dallas Wings 15-1 was the one that surprised him on his plays. So there you go. Flavio Cobolli does win the third set, so we're up 2-1.
Ooh, and he's got his shirt off right now, ladies. And Kelly.
And Kelly. I was going to say, it's a way to deflect it. And Kelly.
Oh, man.
Any final thoughts before we get to game one tonight?
Yeah, I do have a final thought. Final thought. We've heard I forget what the tweet we got earlier about something about everybody being on one side and going the other way. I'm kind of over here chuckling because I saw it on Whalen too. I actually think the bet I've heard the most leading up to game one, so if you really want to be the fade the VSiN guys and stuff like that, it is Josh Hart over on his 3-pointers made. So if you want, like, we get that Super Bowl prop every year that's like so popular, like you've heard 7 people say it before we get to the Super Bowl. I'm part of the part of this group that's on the Josh Hart overs, but I will tell you, I've heard that bet more often than anything else for this game one.
I think I'm with Kyle. I think I probably stay out of this one.
Yeah, this
game
is
one entirely.
I think this is a tough game to bet.
Yeah, Just because, again, your comments at the beginning about Wemby, like out loud, like
right,
saying out loud, I'm not sure I like where
our heads are at. Yeah, like what?
Fascinating admission. So yeah, I think I might sit this one out.
And I actually think that I thought was great stuff from Kyle on the trends. And the most important thing at the end, Gil, always got to be able to answer why if you ask that about a trend.
Don't data mine.
Mm-hmm.
Make it make sense. Make it make sense. We've done all we can do. Prop Points is next with Nick and Jeff and Joy from Visa, the Sports Betting Network.